Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. So I already have your name and your place of birth and your ethnic background. Have you ever heard of the term New Yorican? What does it mean to you?
It's basically for folks that are born in New York, grow up in New York and not over at the island, that are from, whose parents are from Puerto Rico.
Okay. How long were you in New York?
I was born and raised there. I was there till I was 18.
Okay. And what brought you down to Valdosta, and how long have you been here?
I've been in Valdosta now about 13 years, and I came because my wife was doing an internship, and it was either work at a hospital for no money or go into the military and make some money. So we decided to do the military thing, and they stationed us here.
Wow, well, that's pretty cool. That's what brought my mom and my stepdad down here. Dance club experience prior to Maria's, have you ever done anything similar to what you're doing out at the club now anywhere else?
Well, I used to teach dance at Arthur Mary's, or one of those dance schools when I was really young. I taught ballroom dancing. I didn't like that at all. And, but I, you know, living in New York, I spent most of my time in Latin clubs. And when I arrived here, I was introduced to people that were of Latin descent, and we decided to start throwing dances out at the base. So we started a club, and we would throw dances out there, and we would have really good turnouts. The problem with doing them at the base was that everyone did not have access to the base. And so we had looked for a place in town that we could do it, to see if we could spread. Most of the people that would come to the Latin parties were Latin, Asians. But I've always wanted to get the music out to non-Hispanics. And I thought that this was a good way to do it, for us to be somewhere downtown and introduce the music. Because I know a lot of people really enjoy the music. They stay away from it because they don't understand what's being said. But if you were to just sit them down there and listen to the music, you could see that they feel the music, and they're moving, even though they're just sitting in the chair, you know. And so I wanted to bring that out. And so I started the dance classes to incorporate them into the Latin night that we have at Maria's, so that people would be willing to come if they knew how to dance.
In comparison to Latin music?
Well, I think that people just, not everyone, but I think people who are interested in dancing are attracted to upbeat kinds of music. And that's what a lot of Latin music is. It's just upbeat. So most people that are interested in dancing are going to be either beat. And I think that that's why a lot of party people, for example, you know, places like that, you know, they get into the calypso music, and they get into the, what I call the island music, the tropical sound. Of course, that's what Latin music is. It's a mixture of all of that.
The view of Hispanic culture in Valdosta, in terms of the makeup of the Hispanic culture, the size of it, and the cultural identity and strength of the people that compose it.
I think that Mexican population here. Probably next we would probably have Puerto Ricans, winters off from there. As far as the whole identity, I don't think that we have it. I think that Valdosta, there's not really anything to tie everyone in to something that has to do with just Latinos here. I think it's kind of like just a lot of different cultures, you know. You have them splintered off, they all do their own thing. And that's one of the things early on that I envisioned with doing Maria's, was that to give them an opportunity to come, sample the music, each other's music, but also to network with one another. You know, find out who people are from going to the club, being able to talk with them, find out what they do, and then be able to use each other's resources to assist them in whatever kinds of things they need.
Well, just an aside, but I know up north, at least in my father's community, he's Cuban, not really, there's almost a prejudice within the Caribbean Hispanic culture against the Mexican Hispanic culture. And I don't, do you sense that down here, or is it too small a population?
No, I do. I think that my brother's in Virginia Beach, he sees it there. And I think I see it here. I don't know that it's I guess it is a prejudice when people react that way to different folks. Then I guess it is a prejudice, but I don't think it's a hatred or anything like that.
Maybe not necessarily a hatred so much,
right,
as a preference,
yes,
for their own strength.
Absolutely,
of the culture.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think that that's normal. Most cultures feel that.
Yeah. So how long ago, do you remember like a starting date that you could put on when you began working at Maria?
No, but we're going on, I don't have a starting date, but I remember I talked with this lady who just celebrated her birthday not long ago. And I talked with her, and it seemed like it was only yesterday, or it seemed like 3 months ago that we had just celebrated her birthday, and she celebrated it at Maria's, and she's not Hispanic, you know. Actually, she's more into the country Western thing, but she came to Latin night, and she really enjoyed herself, and it was her birthday. But I think we're going on. We finished 2 years. We're pushing 3 years now that we're there and going by.
Wow. You know. I mean, some of these questions will kind of overlap with things you've already mentioned. But if you look back, was there an original motivation or an intention aside from proximity? I mean, because it was not as easy for people to get onto the dancing of the base, and you've mentioned networking. But was there anything else that drove you to start doing this at Maria's?
No, that was my motivation. It's just bringing out the music. I'm more in, you know, a lot of people are a lot smarter than I am, and, you know, they're a lot deeper than I am, and they're into all the social, or not the social, but everything else that goes with it. And I just wanted to bring the music. And I think if you bring the music, everything else will follow, you know. That the mutual respect for the different personalities and everything will fall into place, you know. And if you can do it, too, kinds of things happen.
I think it's, you know, one of the things we've discussed in class. Well, Lori and I, the independent study, is the fabric of music and texture. And my mind's going to places where you're talking about networking and music as a fabric and different planes, how they go together. I mean, music is woven together in many different components, but it also can... What is your perception of the audience in terms of ethnicity and maybe even class structure and participants who come Saturday nights?
I think our largest population is the Mexican population that comes. Sort of a... I don't know what it is I'm trying to say. I think that what ultimately my thoughts on the situation is that I want to get it to just be a melting pot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And necessarily want like one dominant group there.
Right.
I like it to be somewhere where everybody can just come who enjoys that type of music.
Mm-hmm.
I think when we first started, it was mostly non-Mexican. And the transition has come about to where now the population has grown to be more Mexican. And the process now of starting to advertise on the radio stations here in town to draw in more of the non-Hispanic people come in. So I don't know if that answers your question, but it started off with a large mixture of different types of Hispanics, and then the Mexican population has come in, and they're a big part of the people that come there now.
Do you think there's anything that lends itself to the shift in the more dominant population being Mexican participants?
I think that we have a large Mexican population here, and they really don't have anywhere to go, especially with a lot of them who do not speak English. They're migrant workers, and so whereas a lot of the other Spanish cultures, you know, they have a lot of, they're pretty much established here. They have a lot of friends here. They have a lot of avenues that they can follow. I think a lot of the Mexican population does not have that. They work all the time, and then they want to go and party. And so that's where that attraction comes in. And so once they start telling their friends of this place, I think that's why the transition has happened.
I'd asked you maybe 2 weeks ago when I was there if there were regulars, and you were pointing out some of the people. Do you think there's with the regular participants, could that be broken down to a more dominant group, or is that pretty well mixed up in terms of who comes repeatedly?
It's mixed up, yeah. I think that, again, I think with the population being the dominant group there now, I think you would have a lot of those regulars, but we have pretty much about every Saturday now. That goes across the board, you know, from non-Hispanics to Hispanics to the Mexican to certain acts. We have certain folks that come fairly regularly.
So you mentioned that because that's probably the group that I've noticed the least represented.
Yes.
There, which really surprised me.
Well,
maybe
I think the reason for that is that, again, we haven't advertised in those areas, and I think that once the advertisement, because we really have done no advertising. The only advertising that's been done is word of mouth. And I think that as we put the advertising in different segments of the population, that number will grow also, because there's a lot in common there. I think that will grow.
I think too, the last time I was out there, there was a table, a group of three black people came in, and it was exactly what you're talking about. They couldn't understand what was being said in the music, and at one point someone walked up and was talking to them in Spanish, and they didn't understand, and they just got up within about 5 minutes, and they said, "We're out of here." They're right in front of us, and they left, and they didn't look mad, but they looked really kind of confused and very surprised, like, ooh.
Well, what my job there is to make sure that the people that come in who I have not seen before feel welcome, and to make sure that if they have any problems that they know that they can talk with someone to make sure that the problems are taken care of. Usually when I see a group like that, I make it a point to go over and speak with them. And the thing about it is, one of the things that I tell them is that I never listen to the words. I don't know what half of those songs, what they're saying, because, you know, my thing is the music. It's not what's being said. I don't unless it's a real slow song and I'm in that type of mood where I'm sitting down and I have nothing to do and I just happen to listen to the words, I very rarely listen to what's being said in there. It's the actual part of me is what I tune into, not so, you know, I try to express that to a lot of people who come in there. I say, don't worry about that. It makes you move. You know, it's the best way to enjoy yourself here.
That's good. A lot of the people who go to Maria's arrive not knowing much about Latin dance at this point.
I think that a lot of the people who are there don't know how to dance. A lot of people, that doesn't keep them from getting out on the dance floor.
Right.
And, you know, I always, you know, I don't know if you've been there when I've made the announcement, and I said, like, you don't need a partner, you don't know, you don't need to know how to dance. If music moves you, you get out here, you know. Because we want people to just come and have a good time, not to be so caught up into whether I can do this or I can't do this, and, you know, that's another reason why I offer the classes, because I want them to get a basic knowledge of the dance, and then, you know, as they come, they practice and dance with different people.
Offering the class every Wednesday night?
Yeah, this time around, last time it was Tuesdays, this time it's Wednesdays. We're going to start May the 2nd, and I teach them 2 dances and 6 lessons. And so all of the classes have been pretty, really successful. They, you know, you end up with a wins, and so it's not just a dance class. It's kind of like all of the people that come just kind of feel like, you know, they want to be there. They don't want to miss the class. You know, we have a lot of fun, and again, it's another avenue to make people comfortable when they come.
So for the people who can't attend the classes midweek, do you feel that pretty well? I mean, what I've noticed is that people might be teaching one another while they dance. Or I've seen you'll go out on the floor, or you'll be up where you're almost emceeing, and you'll tell people, just come on up here and you got to try this. And nobody's good at this anyway. You just come up here.
You just come on
so
up.
So it's kind
it.
Of like you just teach the person next to you.
Right. And we have a lot of the people who can dance who didn't know how to dance. And so, you know, if I find somebody who really wants to learn how to dance, hey, I'll put them together with somebody who'll be more than happy to teach them how to dance. At least, you know, to do a couple of steps there so that they can feel comfortable.
Well, have you ever noticed, I mean, because there are definitely, from the observatory point of view, there are definitely key people who know what's going on. I mean, they can move. And do you ever feel like, whether it's that person who comes in, who's already, people recognize they can dance, or they might find someone on the floor who's also a good partner and they're dancing well, do you feel that there's any prestige given to these people who can dance really well?
No. I think that, I don't know about prestige, I think that it's more of an intimidation factor a lot of times. I think that for somebody who sees someone who can really dance, they would feel like, you know, that person would never want to dance with me, you know? Which is, I guess that would be true for some people, just like with anything else. But for the most part, I know people there who, lots of people that go there that can dance, who are willing to dance with anybody, you know, anybody that wants to learn, they're willing to, you know, long or two, to go out there and just, you know, teach them how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem that also is that there's a lot of people who can't dance, who try to show other people how to dance when they can't dance, which is where I have a problem, because then they pick up really bad habits.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other part of that, they're out on the dance floor, you know? But on the other side of that, even though they're out on the dance floor, they can't pick up a beat because this person here can't dance. And so it's like a catch-22 going back and forth. So I don't want them to leave frustrated because the only person that they danced with that I couldn't dance, and they figure now, well, I just can't dance. I'm never going to do this again. You know?
Do you people who may be intimidated, have you ever noticed, or I mean, could you describe how they might act out feeling intimidated? Is it just a matter of they won't look? I mean, because I notice if you look at someone and smile, they'll ask you to dance. Is it a matter of no eye contact, or they just sit?
No, it's not like that. It's more of a I don't want to dance kind of thing. Because I try to, you know, go around and, you know, people that I see that I kind of, you know, I'm up on the stage and I look out over the audience and I see them, that they're there, and it's kind of like a look in there, like, man, I wish I was out there kind of look, mm-hmm. you know. And I go out and I say, come on, let's dance. And they're like, no. So those are the kinds of things that make me feel that they're intimidated. Although later on in the evening, after they've had a few drinks, you know, a lot of times they'll loosen up and I'll go back and ask them, you know, again, and usually they'll dance at that point. But some people are just really self-conscious and aren't going to get up there.
Yeah. What do you think the ethnicity of a participant at any night dances affects the individual creativity that person brings to the dance floor? Combined with the Latin music atmosphere and all of that.
I think that everyone is individual, and I know a lot of really good non-Hispanic dancers.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, a couple of people that I've taught in my class who didn't do any Latin at all are now really good dancers. And I think it's an individual. I think it's the confidence that they have, and I also think it's a confidence of progression. They, for example, this one young lady, she had never danced Latin before. She took my class. She was so advanced that she would kind of stay afterwards so that I could move, because the class was moving too slow for her.
Mm-hmm.
And she had never done Latin dance before in her whole entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point on, she gets out on the dance floor and she just has a confidence about her that, and of course it didn't all happen at once, as you know, she would come and dance with this person and dance with this person and dance with this person and dance with this person, and it gradually grew to now she'll just get out there. If she has somebody, fine. If she doesn't have somebody, fine, and she'll dance with me, and she'll dance with this non-Hispanic man who doesn't have a beat, you know. As a matter of fact, I use her a lot of times when people come in from men that come in from like Tifton and places like that, and businessmen, people like that. And I, you know, I'll ask her to go ahead and dance. She pull them right out on the dance floor just to make sure that they have a good time. They at least get out there and you know, move a little bit. No, I think that the confidence comes from a confidence in a person, and of course, you know, the degree of how long they've been dancing. You know, even. But the other thing is, you know, I think that if you're at home, a little bit more confidence than you, like me, even though I know that I can dance, a lot of times when I go to other places, I'm still kind of a little shy, you
mm-hmm.
know. I mean, after a certain point, the music just, something comes on and I have to do it. It's not,
yeah.
But, you know, I'm not as free in other places as I am here, because I'm comfortable here.
Mm-hmm.
That's like my house. And,
do you think the quality of the music at Maria's, the Latin-esqueness of it, would affect the way that people participate? Well, not how they participate, but the way they behave as they participate at Maria's. Do you think it would affect how they're behaving, especially coming in from a non-Hispanic background?
I don't know. I think that people... Some people are just naturally reserved when they go into new situations, and some people are just, hey, I'm here, and I'm here to party, and I don't care who's here. And, you know, I think it's an individual thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we try to play a rotating mixture of music so that everyone gets their music. We catch a lot of flack to that, because then you have one group who doesn't like this particular
mm-hmm.
music, And then you have this group who doesn't like that particular
right.
music. And so we're always catching, you know, hey, can you play this? The downsides of a lot of that is individual, you know.
The dress code on the dance floor, Marius.
I do a dress code that's getting ready to get tightened up. And part of the dress code that I did at first was the hat, no hats. And I catch a lot of flack for that, but there's a reason for that. Cultures. Women, when they go out to party, like to get dressed up. And there's a big imbalance when you have women who come in these very nice dresses, and you have guys with cut-off t-shirts and shorts on.
Mm-hmm.
So what that does is that out of the place. The thing that it does, and I think that there's a certain psychology that has to do with when you dress up that you act a different way.
Mm-hmm.
I just talked with them last Saturday night about the dress code, and I said, I'm going to tighten up on the dress code again, because we have, again, the ladies who are dressing up in dresses, they fix themselves up, and then you have these guys in wrinkled up t-shirts with dogs on the back and pool sticks and that kind of stuff. And I said, you know, other thing there, from a business point of view, and it's not my business, but I always try to treat it as if it was my business from a business. Well, wherever the women go, the men are going to go anyway. And so you want to sort of cater to the ladies to make sure that they feel comfortable, that nobody is harassing them,
mm-hmm.
That they can dress up if they want to, so that they feel comfortable in order to come. And so my shift is to make sure that they're comfortable. The guys, you know, they're gonna come regardless. And so, to this point, Maria and I have been kind of bumping heads on the dress code, but, you know, I had to tell her again that cut out the sneakers, the shorts, and I want these guys in either dress shirts or a collared shirt on. I'm not gonna allow them to come in anymore. It has to be a slow transition. Probably by the end of May is when we'll kick all of that in, but I'm not going to do that anymore. You know, I want people to come there. I want them to have a good time, and I think that people, when they dress up, they act a little better.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys who come in there and they smell bad, because they haven't been home,
mm-hmm.
they've been working out in the sun all day.
Yeah.
And so what happens is they come into the place and, you know, it's like, oh man, this guy is, you know, really. The thing is when they come in dressed like that, they don't have the, hey, I'm dressed up, I want to look good, I want to impress. They're more into, hey, I want to fight, you know. And so they end up getting drunk and then pushing and shoving and getting into these altercations with one another, which again drives away the family people, you know, the husbands and wives that come in, and the ladies don't want to be in situations there where, you know, it's going to break out at any time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, you know, that's why I started with the hats, and it's still, today it's a problem. But that's the way it's going to be.
What do you think Saturday Night Latin dances are tempered by the South?
Tempered?
Yeah, how does this area, in terms of how it is
mm-hmm.
socially and culturally, affect what goes on at Maria's?
I don't know. I think that over 200 people a few times. And it's in South Georgia. I think it's just that aware of the music.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is because we're here, you know. You wouldn't have that problem if you were in Miami. as everybody in Miami would know, you know, about the Latin scene if you're in New York. Even in places like Tallahassee and Jacksonville, those places have a couple of places, but they're not, it's not really big there. And basically, I guess because we're down south and we don't have those large populations of Hispanics of different backgrounds. So I think that it's probably tempered by ignorance. That, you know, they've never been subject to it. Plus, there's no real advertisement going around. And anybody who wants to party, we're just into having a good time, just partying, you know. I want people to come there who want to dance, want to have a good time, who know how to behave. In fact, you know, we've gotten to the point where we don't let a lot of people in. If they come in and they're looking like they're already drunk and they've had too much to drink, we don't let them in. If they're inside and they're staggering around, we put them right out, you know. We just want people who want to party, you know, who want to have a good time, behave themselves, and respect each other, that's all.
Let me jump back a second about the dress thing. Would it be typical in a club up north or down in Miami to have a dress code similar to the one that you're starting to affect?
Oh, no, there's no question there. Hey, I've been dressed and I couldn't get into a lot of places because I didn't have a collared shirt on. I mean, I had a very nice t-shirt on. But because I didn't have a collared shirt, they wouldn't let me in, you know. Some places, you know, you have to go in, if you're a gentleman, you have to go in with a tie and a jacket. Of course, that we never do that here, but I don't think that it's too much to ask to have someone come in at least looking appropriate and acting appropriate.
Go up on stage and you get the lottery tickets going, it's always La Casa de María. Is there a direct translation for Maria's Lounge, or is there an effort in calling it Casa de Maria to make it more like a house party type of event? Because you've talked about the type of people you want to be able to attract, husbands and wives. It's not just people. Anyone wants to come in and have a good time. So there's definitely a specific atmosphere that's being targeted. And I mean, from what I've been studying this semester, I think house party or something like that, or what I would have grown up in with my family. So how does that work?
Well, I've never, when I started saying Maria's house, I never consciously said it for any particular reason except that I like the way that it sounded.
It,
you know, you're
sound
here,
good.
She's inviting you into her home,
right,
kind of like thing, but it wasn't because I wanted to turn it into a house party or because I want you to feel in any particular way when you come in here. But I like the way that it sounded. Yeah. It came out one day and I just started using it ever since. You know?
That's pretty catchy. I like that. Do you know the wall over facing the stage, the wall over on the right that has the big mural? Was that mural there before the Latin dances started? Do you know?
Yeah, that was there from when they opened up.
Okay, so that wouldn't have been, because one of the things that Lori had asked me, she was curious as to whether that would affect the atmosphere, whether it had been designed after the Latin dances started or what.
No, that was there.
And you've already talked about advertising. One of the things that I was going to ask about was whether Maria did advertise and how, because I had never heard about it until I was looking around for field work.
Yeah, well, right now, I think what happened was that she tried the Latin night, and they didn't expect it to be as big as it is, and it's their biggest night there. And they're in the middle of construction now, and what they're trying to do is just bring the whole into letting people know that it's there. And they're waiting to do the renovations before they start the actual advertisement, you know, because it'll be the new Maria's. I think Maria's she's been here for years and she's had a lot of controversy with her establishments. And she was, one point, one of the places that she moved into, or I think that place there may have been a gay club at one point, which for a lot of people that was negative. Also, I think that she used to have a pretty rough crowd that used to go to when she was down on, I think she was on Park Avenue, North maybe it was Park Avenue or Northside Drive, one of those two. But somebody was shot in there, and...
Oh, that was Northside Drive.
Was it Northside Drive?
Was it Groucho's, I think, then, or... No,
it was always Maria's.
It was next door to that, and I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah. Anyway.
But if it was Maria's, I'm thinking of a different...
But anyway, it's always been associated with being a really rough place, and I think that a lot of those people who used to frequent it now are older, and so they're a lot more laid back, and now we have the new night coming in, and one of the things is that I don't tolerate is, you know, I don't tolerate folks fighting or even looking like they're...
The next question. Because
fighting.
I've never seen a fight in the club handled the way it was, I think, 3 weeks ago. My second visit, there was a couple that got in a fight, and somebody got hit and landed on a table right behind me, and immediately, but very quietly, it was not turned into a scene except when people followed out afterwards,
right.
You know, outside, yes, but inside, no. Very quiet, escorted, not antagonistically, but just respectfully, you need to be outside.
That's right.
And I was amazed because I've never seen a bar fight or a lounge fight handled that quickly or that quietly.
Well, I've talked with, I don't like getting involved in I don't like security aspect of it. I think that a lot of times the security people that we have there, I always talk with them because we have different people that come in at different nights. And one of the things that I tell them is, you know, problems whatsoever, we take them right outside. I don't want anything happening in here. We handle it outside. Whether you can speak Spanish or not, if there's a thing, we grab them, we pull them outside, and then we figure out what it is out there. And then if they're people who are not regulars, you know, then we tell them, look, you can't come back. If they are regulars, like that night where the girl was pushed down on the table and stuff, both of those people there were regulars. And I had to talk with all of them outside, including the young lady, because she was a big part of what had happened. And I said, look, you know, I don't want to keep you guys from coming in here, you know. And this is it. If you have another static, you better take it outside. Because if it happens inside the club again, you know, it's bad business, I think. You know, I've made them come down on the people that are drunk, because usually, and it's mostly, you know, I tell you, it's mostly a lot of the Mexicans who come in, who drink too much, and they have problems with other people from outside. They meet up in there, and then because they're drinking, they don't know how to act, and they go ahead and start some stuff by saying something or bumping somebody or something like that.
Hmm.
And the time that we've been there in almost 3 years, I can think of maybe, oh, real fights. That one was a push, a one-push thing, but there's never been anybody who's really been punched in the face or anything like that since we've been there. I tell them, hey, you jump on it right away, you know. And I have, you know, people, and that's why I spend most of my time up on the stage, so I can see what's going on, and we stay in contact with one another, and hello, hey, I'm still here. So I just, again, it goes back to making sure that the ladies feel comfortable when they're there. They're not going to want to go someplace where they're going to follow the women to the bathroom. They'll wait outside the restroom until they come out of the restroom and, you know, kind of corner them over there. So I make sure the security, I walk back to the bathrooms. So I have that, you know, you have the farm workers and, you know, the migrant worker mentality that comes in there too. And, you know, they've been drinking, so they're, you know, I have a lot of frustration in those aspects, because they will, and there's people in the garbage can, you know. Well, they're used to being outside and just peeing on a tree kind of thing, you know, and I get really upset with them, you know. I say, you know, what is wrong with you? Oh, I had to go, man, I can't be doing that again, you're out of here. It's a frustration of mine, just because, you know, I guess people come from a different situation, and I don't know, is that they don't know any better, or that they don't care, or is whether they've been drinking too much. You know, it's sort of like a catch-22, because it's a business, and their business is to sell alcohol, you know. So I'm constantly fighting that, because if I see you getting drunk, then I'm going to put you out. So it's a kind of like a,
yeah.
They want you to drink, but don't drink too much, you know, where you're going to get yourself killed in the car, or get a DUI, or, you know, that kind of stuff. Right home, you know, let us know, we'll call a cab, whatever. We call lots of cabs over there and take people home, so kinds of things, as much as I can.
Mm-hmm. What? How would you define your position at Maria's? Are you more of like a sir, or?
I run the show, basically. I make sure that everything runs smoothly. It's not even, you know, I wasn't hired for that. You know, I'm not even getting paid for that type of thing. I just, I've always been in a situation where I want everybody to have a good time. Anybody who's disrupting folks having a good time, then I have a problem with, you know. And this, taking care of this or taking care of that. We have Pablo at the door. He does a good job there. And then we have one security guard. And that's not enough. You know, one security person is not enough to, you know, check the outside, make sure there's nobody's trying to break into somebody's car or hassling one of the ladies that are leaving, or, you know, so it's a lot. So I take it upon myself to just kind of stay on top of things and kind of know what's going on. So I'm constantly walking back and forth, checking with the doors, everything. Have you seen anything? I check with the waitresses. Is everybody treating you all right? Is somebody drinking too much? Is, you know, that kind of stuff. Just to make sure that everyone has a good time.
Who is Logan?
Logan is the manager of the club.
Right. And what's the DJ's name? The guy there.
Louis.
Louis?
Louis.
Okay. And where's, do you know where he's from?
He's from Puerto Rico.
Okay. And so do you work with him picking music for the night, or is that pretty well all his thing?
Well, for example, he was in the hospital this last Saturday, so I had to play the music. I don't like DJing, you know. But I pretty much leave it up to him to play whatever, you know. You don't want to be doing a job and have everybody tell you how to do your job, you know. I just ask him to just mix it up really well and just play, you know, try to keep it to two of this song, two of this song, two of this song, and rotate so that, you know, everybody at least will know, well, it's coming,
yeah,
kind of thing.
So you kind of, maybe you suggest or direct kind of a pattern, but he still actually picks the play order?
Right.
He, okay.
And, you know, and if, you know, if somebody asks for something in particular, I'll let them know. Sometimes I want to listen to something, I'll let them know, you know.
So requests are fair game?
No, we try not to do that. I've made several announcements, too, because it upsets him, you know. And I try to kind of be in the way, you know. If somebody's coming up to the stage, I usually try to
the first
cut them off.
I was there, a shorter gentleman who's really well dressed came in with a stack of CDs about that, and made a beeline right for the stage.
Well, that's Javier. That's Javier, and a lot of times he brings in Mexican music, and so people. There's certain people who it's okay, you know. There's certain people who. For example, if they're regulars and they know how things work and they have a CD, you know, hey, can you play this one song for me? We'll usually say okay.
Yeah.
But if it's people we've never seen before, and hey, I want you to play that kind of music, and we'll say okay. And say, why don't you play this kind of music? Okay, it's coming. And just forget them, you know. Because if you open it up to everybody, everybody will be coming up there, and then nobody will be happy, you know. So
So the people that work Saturday night, are they the same people who work through the week, or do you have your own crew that you deal with on Saturdays?
No, several of them work during the week. That's their staff. The only people that come in is Louis and myself for Latin night, and we're not staff there. We just come in to just do Latin night.
Do the music. Okay, and then one question that I was wondering about, because I mean up north I was raised pretty well in a more of a Caribbean Hispanic club scene. But do you know what the difference would be, or could you describe it for me between if I were to go to a club that was catering more to Mexican group of people than trying to get a mix going like what you're trying to do? Would the music be mostly in the difference be mostly in the music, or would there be an atmospheric difference, or
mostly in the music?
That would be it.
They'll party anywhere. I mean, I don't think it's the actual location, but it's the music that's going to attract different people. If we were doing a primarily Mexican thing, then most of the music we're going to play are going to be ranchero music and cumbia. And if you're going to do the tropical thing, then you're going to do more of salsa and merengue and cumbias and bachatas and those kinds of things. So, whereas we try to cater to everybody, we incorporate all of that, plus we incorporate English music too. You know, sometimes we'll go in there and we'll play some rock and roll, you know. We'll have people doing the twist and stuff like that, and sometimes we'll come in and we'll have booty music going on, and sometimes when they'll come in, we'll have some R&B, you know, so we do a lot of different, a lot of different kinds of music just to make it a melting pot.
Yeah.
You know, we just try to get good music in there, whatever it is, try to be danceable.
Mm-hmm.
And
so when do you think these renovations will be done? This is just for me now. This,
well,
I can turn this
working.
Off. I'm just thinking, this is good. I'm going to put that back on. This is interesting.
They have two machines to pull all the smoke out of there, and they have the fans going, but it doesn't do enough, you know, as far as getting rid of the smoke. They've looked at different options. Actually, they bought those two machines right when we started. But they don't seem to be doing a whole lot, so I don't know what's going to happen with that.
We could restrict it to the grill, but then nobody would be inside anymore.
Well, I mean, you go to a club, and it's hard
yeah.
to tell people not to smoke.
Exactly.
But the deal is, how do you, you know, I leave there, and I'm stinking
yeah.
of cigarette smoke. I mean, my clothes just reek. They'll work on that. That's not.
That was our joke. The first week I went, because a bunch of people from VSU showed up, who weren't part of the work I was doing, but they knew I was going to be there, and they just wanted to come out and de-stress after a concert. And we also did the same thing that following Monday. We were like, we just went home, and everything went straight in the hamper, because it just smells like an ashtray.
Well,
and then your hair, but
yeah, mine. I have to hang out. I have to hang my clothes out for a couple of days to just let them air out before I put them in the hamper, because to me, that's how bad it smells.
Yeah, or from the hamper straight to the machine the next morning.
Or even if we take our CDs, when I put them in my car, and the next day I get in the car, I still smell the smoke in there.
Yeah. So. Well, my notebook smelled for a couple of days. I was like,
Yeah.
Maria's?
Maria's, yeah.
But I've enjoyed it out there. It's not quite the same as it was up north, but
no.
This isn't up north, so.
Right, it's not quite the same, but it's okay.
Hopefully
it'll get.
It was very okay. I mean, I enjoyed it, and you did a great job. That was one of the things I commented on to Lori after the first time when I said, because she told me to look for you, and I'd seen you around, but didn't realize this is the man I've been looking at.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I told her that you made very sure, I mean, as soon as we were in there, you came up, and I remember you said, you look a little lost or confused, is everything okay, and made sure that we were comfortable and we knew what was going on, and you did exactly what you say that you make sure you do. You made sure if we had any questions we could ask, if we had any complaints or problems, just to find you again or whatever, and That is very unusual. You're not going to find that if you go over to Rick's or someplace else, you know, and that made a huge difference because, honestly, I was very unsettled walking in the first night with a bunch of Mexican migrant workers walking in looking kind of rough, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get killed in here or something. I mean, my own stereotypical filter in action, you know. And as soon as I walked in, I was like, okay, this looks like a safe table, but I still feel like I've just got a target on me for everybody, you know. And when you walked over, everything just immediately went at ease. I knew it was going to be all right. And
that's an important thing. And I think that anybody can walk in there and feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. I don't think that, and that's the atmosphere, because if I thought different, I wouldn't be in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to be going in a place where I felt like, you know, I'm going to get hurt, you
right.
know.
But I think you add largely to that atmosphere, the fact that you do walk around, that you do, you mix with the people who come in, you make a point to recognize the people you haven't seen before, that adds largely to that atmosphere.
Well, I think that if people feel comfortable, they're going to come back, and the idea is to get them to come back, so.
So.
You know, and that's a thing, true, is that I've never gone to a place anywhere where that has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that if I was going to a place, you know, where I didn't know anybody, or, you know, that somebody came up to me and said, hey, is everything all right? You know, if you need anything, let me know. I'd say, hey, that's pretty cool. I like that,
yeah.
You know. So it's never happened to me. So I make it a point that because that's what I would like, I make it a point to do it for everybody else.
Well, I think it pays off. You know, I know that there were a couple. And originally, you know, the focus of the paper was on the perception of ethnicity and gender on interactions, but you've done such a good job at mixing the club up that really that was already a moot point within the first week of going there. And there were some of these people from school who, they played up in Tifton and came back down, who have never been to a Latin club. They were not from an Hispanic background at all, and they had a blast. They were comfortable, they enjoyed the music. Just like you said, it's the music
mm-hmm.
that gets you. They didn't have a clue what they were listening to, but they liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And they liked the interaction, you know, let's dance. And no strings attached, let's just go up here and have some fun.
Right.
And that was one of the things that they were talking about the next day when I talked with them. I said, this is kind of interesting because it's consistent, you know. And that's a good mark.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
We'll see what happens in the next few months. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it'll, you know, My thing at first was, in the beginning, my thing was to get 100 people in there. And then all of a sudden it was 150 people, and then it was 200, and we hit 200. And then it was, you know, well, I don't want to go a lot more over 200 because then it just gets packed. And
mm-hmm.
But what I do want to see is I want to see 200 consistently.
Mm-hmm.
And so once the advertising goes and we bring in a different crowd of people and to mix with the crowd that we already have, I think we'll do a good job.
Do you know if Dr. Kachan will be advertising? He does that Latin show on the...
Yeah, he'll advertise for us if we put it up. And, you know, I email him every once in a while, and he has done some things. As a matter of fact, we've given away some tickets. But only one person called in for the ticket, so I don't know how many people are actually listening
mm-hmm.
to his program. And I had even offered to go up there, you know, and do some promotion over the radio, but they have this thing with people coming in to the radio station or something like that. So, but after the renovations, when we start the advertising, you know, I'm going to do that again. I'm going to send them tickets and have them just give them away on the air for people who call in so they can get in for free, that kind of stuff.
We'll have to see. This weekend's another orchestra weekend, so we'll have to see if we can round up a bunch of musicians and send them on there.
Okay.
Sounds
well,
like a
I'll
good way
there.
To de-stress. Thank you so much. I really
You're
appreciate
very
this.
Welcome.